This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. He was in that position during the Bush administration, and also under President Bush, he was the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. Both jobs make him extremely qualified to explain why he believes that we could see an Israeli strike against Iranian nuclear facilities within days. And Mr. Ambassador, it's great to have you with us again.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Last week, of course, the Russians announced they would go ahead with plans to fuel Iran's nuclear reactor, particularly the one at Bashir. And you've said in recent days that you believe that means that if Israel's going to exercise its military option here, it will need to do so by August 21st, which is obviously just a few days from now. Why do you believe the window's that narrow?
Well, let's begin. This is a very significant victory for Iran, a very important advance on its years-long quest to get a deliverable nuclear weapons capability. Even though the Bashir reactor won't produce plutonium as part of its spent fuel for some time yet, the key point is loading the reactor with the uranium fuel rods. And the reason for that is that once the fuel rods are in the reactor or even right next to the reactor, if Israel or anyone else attack them, almost certainly the consequence of that attack would be the release of radioactivity into the atmosphere, or because Bashir is right on the shore of the Persian Gulf, possibly into the waters of the Gulf. And that's why most military observers have felt that if Israel were going to attack the Bashir reactor, it would do so before the fuel rods were loaded. That's what Israel did in 1981 when it attacked Saddam Hussein's Osirak reactor outside of Baghdad, and it's why Israel attacked the North Korean reactor being built in Syria in September of 2007, even before that reactor was finished construction. So that's where the time sensitivity of all of this comes from.
So if we do not see Israeli activity within the next few days, does that mean they've decided not to exercise this option?
Well, it certainly means it's a lot less likely with respect to the Bashir reactor. That doesn't mean that Israel might not use military force preemptively against the uranium enrichment program that Iran has, that's second route to nuclear weapons. But that's why the starting of the Bashir reactor is so significant and such a milestone for Iran, because it gives it this second route to nuclear weapons via plutonium. And in effect, it's a belt and suspenders policy for Iran, having two different ways to get nuclear weapons.
Did the Russian announcement catch anybody off guard, or was this pretty much on schedule?
Well, you know, the Russians have for years had been withholding even shipping the fuel rods to Iran. They finally shipped them in late 2007, early 2008, back during the Bush administration, which then through its remaining year in the Obama administration urged the Russians not to insert the fuel rods into the reactor, not to actually start the reactor going. And they had complied with that up until the announcement last week. So I think this is a very significant development. I think people were surprised by it. And I think it tells you a lot about the supposed reset that the Obama administration very much wanted in our relations with Russia. This is Russia sticking a thumb in Washington's eye as much as anything else.
What do we know, or what do you suspect is the Iranian posture, knowing that this August 21st date is out there and potential Israeli military activity? What type of posture would they be in?
Well, I'm sure they're very concerned about it, and I'm sure they have also been pressing the Russians to deliver the S-300 air defense system, a very, very sophisticated system that basically they've already bought and paid for from Russia. And I think what we see here is Russia playing both sides against the middle, something they do very well. They've extracted all the leverage from Iran they can on fueling the Bashir reactor, so they're going to go ahead and do that. I don't think they've extracted everything they want on the S-300, but I think Iran's case now to have the S-300 delivered from the Russians becomes stronger.
Mr. Ambassador, you mentioned that the Russians are kind of playing both sides against the middle. Part of that, apparently, is not adhering to U.S. requests to delay the installation of the fuel rods. Why do you think they decided not to adhere to our request?
Because I think, as I say, they'd gotten whatever it is they wanted out of Iran, and it suited them at this point to go ahead and follow through on a commitment that's been years in the making here. I don't know what communication they've had with the Obama administration, but I'd like to be a fly on the wall of both the Oval Office and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's office, and maybe Joe Biden's while we're on the subject, to hear what choice words they have from the Russians. You know, I think this should also have an impact on our Senate's consideration of the administration's New START arms control treaty. You know, if this is a measure of how much we can trust the Russians in the new Obama era, I think that should tell the Senate a lot about why they need to reject that New START arms control treaty.
Mr. Ambassador, the Russians probably already got one of their greatest foreign policy concessions from the U.S. last year when the Obama administration agreed to scrap the missile defense shield in Eastern Europe. What else might they want that we could potentially give them that would cause them to at least slow down, if not reverse course, on what they're doing in Iran?
Well, you know, I would never have given up the missile defense sites in Europe. Those were sites not to protect our European friends. I don't have any problem with protecting them. Those were sites to defend our homeland. It was to protect us. And as Iran gets closer to a nuclear weapons capability, I think it's all the more important that we not lose sight of our national missile defense plans. I think we need to tell the Russians in no uncertain terms that we're not going to look favorably on any further treaty negotiations with them. If I were the president, of course this isn't going to happen, but if I were the president, I'd say the New START treaty was going into the trash can.
Do you get the sense, sir, that this administration is acclimating itself to a new reality of a nuclear Iran, that it's not necessarily going to go all the way to the wall in terms of trying to stop it, that it realizes it's probably inevitable at this point?
Well, I think you've put your finger on it. I think the administration's fallback position is a willingness to accept a nuclear weapons-capable Iran. You know, they'll say they don't like it and so on, but fundamentally, there's no other way to understand their actual policy. Forget the rhetoric for a minute, but there's no way to understand what they're actually doing unless they are prepared to accept a nuclear Iran, and I think that's a very, very dramatic development. I think the fueling of the Bushehr reactor is one step, but more to come. It's going to leave us with a much more dangerous Middle East and, frankly, a much more dangerous world.
Last question before we let you run, sir, and obviously this calls for a bit of speculation. Do you expect to see some action from Israel in the next 4 days?
You know, if they were going to do anything, they certainly wouldn't be advertising it. I think they've got a very real dilemma. Do they only attack Bushehr, or do they go after the uranium enrichment program, too? And that's why I'm, as far as one can tell, I'm not sure the Israelis are going to do anything about this reactor. I think that's a big mistake on their part, and we'll wait and see what happens in the next few days. But it doesn't look like it as of now.
The clock definitely ticking much closer to midnight. Sir, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Well, thank you very much.
John Bolton, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. He's also a former Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.